I'm always glad when they say, let's go to church. Amen. Always glad to be in the house of God, to enjoy His presence. We had a great time this weekend at a growth seminar up in Jacksonville. Came away with a lot of good stuff, a lot of good things that I believe will be a benefit to our church over the next year or two, maybe even longer than that. Last week, Brother Keith Derwall taught on the many struggles that often affect our lives. And if it's all right, I'm going to build on that and make me use it as a foundation and hopefully be able to encourage someone. Have you ever thought about eternity? You know, ever since we went on that fast, I think my clothes went on a fast too. They're getting smaller. Yeah. But have you ever thought about eternity? Seriously, have you ever thought about eternity? Never a beginning and never an ending. Eternity is forever. It's sometimes difficult for me to wrap my mind around. There was never a beginning of God, and of course there'll never be an end to God. Eternity is forever. And then have you ever thought about space? Anybody ever thought? My mind works different than a lot, I know that. But I've often thought, surely there's an end someplace out there to space. I mean, to go forever and ever and never get to the end. And then I'd think, well, what would be on the other side of space? I thought about traveling through space at the speed of light. And I looked this up just to make sure so that all of the scientists here won't refute me. But light travels at 670,616,629 miles per hour. That's fast. That's the speed of light. Or to simplify it, is 186,282 miles per second. So if you could travel at the speed of light for 10 billion years, you're not going to get to the end of space. Space, eternity, that is outside of my realm of comprehension and understanding. But as with eternity, or with space, eternity is forever. Always has been, always will be. No beginning, no ending. But we don't live in eternity yet. We live in time. And in time, there is a beginning and an ending for everything. There's a beginning, the Bible says, there's a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to harvest, and so forth. There's a story about a man that was talking to God, and he said, God, in relation to time and eternity, how long is a million years to you? And God said, oh, about a second. Well, okay, in relative wealth from time to eternity, how much is $1 million? And God said, oh, a penny. He kind of smiled and said, God, would you give me $1 million? The Lord said, wait a second. We are relegated to time and space. God is not. God took just a parcel out of eternity, and He started time. And we live in that time that had a beginning and is going to have an end. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, since eternity always has been, we understand that this is the beginning of time. And He created light. He flung the stars into space. He made planets so big, you could fit 10,000 Earth-side planets inside of that one planet. That's our mighty God. That's our powerful God. But that was the beginning of time. And everything we know, everything we see and feel, has a beginning and it has an end. Think about it. God created the heavens and earth. There was that first plant, that first tree, that first cow, that first fish, that first man. There was a first because that was the beginning. But you know, none of those are still here. that first plant's gone. In fact, they tell me that the oldest living thing on the earth right now is a tree out in, I believe, in California. It's a little over 2,000 years old. But we're in time. Those things that have been and are will eventually not be any longer. And I want to say today that includes the beginning and the end, includes your trials. It includes your situations. It includes every temptation. There was a beginning to your trial. There was a beginning to whatever situation you're involved in right now. There was a beginning to temptation. But I want you to know there is also an end to these things. We will not suffer trials forever. We'll not suffer temptations forever. Amen. And whatever you find yourself in today, I want you to know that no matter what you tell yourself or what your enemy tells you, that can end for you through Christ. 1961, there was a wall built that separated East and West Germany. It was called the Berlin Wall. Some of us was around when that first went up, first built, 1961. And it stood as a symbol of oppression and fear. Everybody on the east side was living under communism, and on the west side under the freedom of the West. And that wall stood there, and hundreds of people died trying to get over that wall. They were killed trying to get out of the communist countries of oppression and all that. And one day, there was a service, a meeting, and Ronald Reagan was present, and so was Gorbachev. And he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And the entire world heard him because President Reagan was the most popular or most powerful man in the world at that time. And in 1989, that wall came down. It lasted about 28 years, I believe it was. But it represented oppression to those on the east and fear to those on the west that the communists could come across and actually take over the west part of Berlin and the west part of Germany also. But as sure was there a beginning to that situation, there was an end. And whatever situation you find yourself in right now, there is an ending. There are many examples of walls throughout the scripture. I think everybody knows about the walls of Jericho, right? How big they were, how massive they were. They say that they could run chariot races on top of that wall. It was so huge. Do you know how big Jericho was? About 12 acres. They said if you could walk at 3 miles an hour, you could walk around the entire city in a half an hour. But the walls were massive. The walls protected them from everyone outside from getting in. Those walls, the gates were barred, they were locked, and nobody could get in. And those walls were for their protection. But God said, "I have given you the city." So it didn't matter how heavy the walls were, how thick they were, how fortified they were. When God said, "I'm giving you the city," or "I've given you the city," you can be assured you're going to get that city. And so they marched around there one time a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. And when they shouted and they blew the trumpets, that massive wall fell, and Israel gained a victory that day. Now, the gates of hell shall not stand against the church. When we march around our problems and our situations and take it by the faith that God has given us the victory, the walls are going to fall. The walls of our problems are going to fall. The walls that may hold us in are going to fall. Amen. There's no wall that can separate God's people from their victory. No wall. But you know, we build walls for our defense. Brother McGuire was talking about foundations Wednesday night. And we build our homes with solid foundations, but we build strong walls. I don't want nobody breaking into my house. I make sure there's locks on the doors. You know, sometimes walls are necessary for defense, but our homes are built, hopefully, that no one can break in and steal or even worse. But we make our families as safe as possible from our enemies. Amen. First Corinthians tells us that the foundation for our salvation has already been laid. And then we're supposed to build on that foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. But he warned, he said, be careful how you build on. If you build with wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones, your work will be made manifest. Like the three little pigs. You know, the first house, straw, second house, sticks, the third house, bricks. Well, when the enemy came, this hay blew away, straw, came down, but the brick walls. See, we have to build our lives in tune with God's word so that the enemy can't break through and take care and take us by force. We see that there are many walls that are important and necessary in our lives, so walls are good for protection, and we need to build some walls. But Satan couldn't get to Job because of a wall. And he used this as an excuse. God, you build a wall around him, and I can't get to him. You tear that wall down or that hedge, and I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, I'll tell you what. You go ahead, but you can't touch him. And we know the story. He lost his family, lost his cattle, he lost his crops, lost everything except his wife. And what Satan didn't take into effect is that Job had built some walls himself. Job had built a wall of integrity that the devil couldn't get through that. He built a wall of trust and a wall of faith and confidence in God, and the devil couldn't get through those walls. Amen. When we turn our heart and our life over completely to God and build those kind of walls around our lives, there are some walls that will protect us from every attack the enemy might send against us. But we have to build those walls. We have to make sure that our life is right with God. But that there are walls that I want to talk about today a little bit differently. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, start with verse 1. Paul says, now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. There was some that was coming against Paul and said, he's not in the spirit. He's not teaching truth. He's walking in the flesh. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Paul said, I'm going to be bold about this. Amen. He was reminding the church that, first of all, I have a meek spirit. I'm coming to you gentle as Christ. But there were some things that were people were speaking against him, saying he lived according to the flesh and not the spirit. So he told them in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, you know, as long as you got these bodies on, we're walking in the flesh. And there's not a whole lot we can do about that unless we're gone. But he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God. Our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual warfare are weapons. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Greek word for stronghold, taken literally, means fortress. Fortress. And Paul said, we need to pull down some fortress in our lives. And the Spirit of God and the weapons of our warfare can help us pull down those fortresses that have been built up in our life. It's used here to represent things that are based on human ideas, human means, and completely we need to pull them down and completely demolish them. But Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When we take matters into our own hands, we build a fortress. God, I'm going to take care of this situation. We just built a stronghold. Paul said we need to pull down some strongholds. There are many things that can become a stronghold in our lives or a wall. a fortress that keeps us in bondage of fear, bondage of doubt. Walls we have built that need to be pulled down. Pride. Jealousy. Anger. Bitterness. These things keep us from worshiping God. These things become a wall between us and God. Walls that we've built that need to be pulled down so that we can get close to God. These things can keep us from praying. Have you ever got down to pray and begin to think of somebody you don't like? Have you got down to pray and think about somebody that done you wrong? Oh, unforgiveness. Ooh, wait a minute. Surely that can't be in there. Have you ever got down to pray? You come to church and to worship God and looked across the audience, oh man, they're here again. Oh, come on. We walk in the flesh. But our weapons are spiritual, are mighty through God to pulling down those strongholds. Amen. I've used this story before, and I'm going to pull it. I'm going to use it again. A friend of mine, Don Plummer, we were good friends. We were both filled with the Holy Ghost. Both went to the same church. Loved each other. Our wives were best friends, and everything was great. But one day, we became cross with one another, and I became angry, and then I became probably bitter. It's been so long ago, you know, I'm old. I don't remember a lot of things, but I do remember this, that we would come to church, and man, we would pray. If it was time, we would shout, but I'd be over there and he'd be over here. Yeah, we still had the Holy Ghost. Well, as much as we could. And we'd pray for people on the altar. We may have prayed some people through the Holy Ghost, I don't remember. But one day, as I came up to this side and he came up to this side, we looked across the aisle and that wall came down. And we met in the middle of the church and began to hug each other's necks. We pulled down some strongholds, the walls that separate us from our victory, walls that keep us from doing the will of God, walls that keep us from obeying what God wants us to do. But we don't think sometimes, you know, well, I'll get into that later. Okay, then in verse 5, Paul continues, said, casting down imagination. Oh, do we have imagination or what? So-so didn't shake my hand today, so they're mad at me. Our imaginations can absolutely limit and absolutely destroy our walk with God. Just like with Don, I had built up a stronghold of anger and bitterness by not controlling my imagination. I was imagining all kinds of things about him. And he was imagining all kinds of things about me, and neither one of us were right. Neither one of us were right. Both of us needed to pray through. Our minds, our imagination can create feelings against others. Don't like what Pastor preached. Is there any apostolics here today? Our imagination can get us and cause us to think things that are so contrary to truth that we will build up a scenario that the entire church has backslid but me. I think I know what I'm talking about today. Amen. Come on. I can come up with any reason to justify the way I feel. I can imagine anything to cause me to believe what I feel is right. I can justify why I am angry. I can justify why I'm bitter. Because I don't like you. You did me wrong. Ought to be a country and western song about that. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we can have our mind renewed, our imagination will be second place to the Word of God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God will come first. And our imagination then will not dwell on the things that are untrue, things that we conjure up. It just won't be there anymore. When we renew our minds and we allow the power of the Holy Ghost to work in us, we will fight our true enemy. And that's none of you. You're not my enemy. A man in our church in California, he'd been saved out of prison. Actually, saw the light of Jesus' name baptism while he was in jail. Came out, was baptized in Jesus' name. Received the Holy Ghost, and he had a revelation of Jesus that he could use any scripture and prove Jesus' name baptism or the one God truth. He was just awesome, and everybody in the church loved him. He was just a great guy. And one night or one morning about 3 o'clock, his mother passed away, so he called the pastor. Well, pastor had just gotten in from a conference about midnight and told his wife, let me sleep until about 6 o'clock, it was Sunday morning, so I can get up and get ready for church, unless it's an emergency. So she answered the phone, and Ben said, I want to talk to pastor. And she said, well, is it an emergency? I don't want to wake him up unless it's an emergency. Well, Ben didn't tell her what it was. He said, no, I'll talk to him later. Well, that phone call and that one incident affected Ben immediately, and he didn't come to church that day or the next day, Tuesday. He didn't come to church. And his imagination caused himself to go into overdrive. Pastor went to the church, I believe, on Thursday, and there was marijuana strewn all over the altar, profanities written on the walls. The ladies begin to get phone calls. I want to tell you what I'm going to do to you when I catch you away from everybody else. This was Ben. This was Ben who had been saved out of prison, who had seen the light of truth. But because he couldn't pull down his imagination and the anger from what he felt was a slight. And listen, folks, if somebody slights you, go to them. Apologize to them for being offended. These are things that need to be cast down. Our imaginations, they need to be eliminated from our areas. We need to protect ourselves. Can I just meddle a little bit? Be careful of the internet. Be careful of Facebook and Snapchat. Be careful. I'm not saying it's wrong to have that, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm a conservative. I have conservative values, godly values, pro-life and all that stuff. But I have some friends that are so far to the left, and they write some things on Facebook, and oh, just want to grab them by the neck and choke them. I don't need to be reading that kind of stuff, so I need to protect, I need to build a wall of integrity against some of these things. I need to make sure that I stand against them and I don't allow what they say or what others say on Facebook or the internet to demean my value of God, how I value God, how I see God, how I know God. There are atheists that will tell you that everything happened a big bang. Well, maybe it did. But if it did, it's because God did it. Some will tell you that evolution is real. If that's true, God did it. No matter what, it's God. God has got to be first in my life over everything. The Word of God has got to come first. When I read the Word of God, I read truth. Amen. I read the Word of God and I know the truth. Praise God. And then the rest of that verse said, and bringing into captivity every thought. See, we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, our are mighty through God. They're not carnal. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow, every thought. If you ever sit in church and begin to think about things, the preacher's up here preaching, man, the Holy Ghost is moving, and you're thinking about dinner yesterday? Or your Disney World trip? I'm going to go on that. If what I think or what I hear or what I believe contradicts God's word, I'm wrong. It's that simple. If what I think or what I believe or what I hear contradicts God's word, I am wrong. I have to make sure my thoughts are in obedience with Christ. I need to renew my mind every day, eliminating bad feelings, capturing every thought that is contrary to Christ, pulling down the strongholds, casting out down imaginations, is a spiritual battle we face every day. Every day. Our battle is not with each other. Hallelujah. We need to realize who our true enemy is and wage war against him. Amen. And our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And our weapons are mighty through God to defeating our enemy. Praise God. We fight these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. Our battle is spiritual. We can't use fleshly means to defeat our enemy. And by getting mad at you is not a spiritual weapon. Or getting mad at me or the pastor or getting bitter or whatever. That's not how we win this fight. Amen. We sing that song, our weapons are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. Listen, prayer and worship and faithfulness, holiness, the Word of God, they are weapons that we can use to pull down every stronghold, cast down every imagination, bring our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Amen. The strongholds we build have got to be torn down. Listen, time will come to an end for each of us. If the Lord doesn't come soon, each of us are going to see the end of our time. I don't want to come to the end of my time and realize I have harbored bitterness or anger or frustration. Praise God. Brother Keith mentioned last week drugs, alcohol, pornography, even finances and other works of the flesh that can destroy a man. And these things are true. Amen. And hallelujah. But it's the little foxes. You can't tempt me with drugs. You can't tempt me with alcohol. You can't tempt me with the pornography. I don't want to do that. It's those little foxes that we don't pay attention to that can destroy us quickly, even quicker than the things that we can see. And the devil will try to convince you that there's no hope for you. You got this thought in your mind, and you keep getting these bad things in your mind, and there's no hope for you, and there's no escape over the wall that separates you from Christ. I'm telling someone today, the devil is a liar. There is victory through the powerful weapons of God, the weapons of our warfare. Amen. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 6 that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he lists a bunch of things, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, drunkards, thieves, some other things. And then he said, and such were some of you. He's talking to the church, telling about all these sins, and such were some of you. But then he said, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When we come to God and we give our life, listen, the devil's going to bring up your past. He's going to throw things at you and put thoughts in your mind. We need to bring those thoughts under the power of Christ and under the dominion of Jesus Christ. Amen. And even though the devil will try to destroy us, listen, someone said up at our conference this week, in fact, Brother David Myers said, it's not enough to get the treasure. I've got the Holy Ghost. Thank God. But when I was mad at Don, I don't know. I need to protect that treasure. I need to build a wall of protection around my treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It doesn't matter what comes my way. The situation is that if I keep my heart right with God and I build up a wall of protection against my enemy, those things may come against me. But listen what they said. Yeah, I might have be troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. I might be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I may be persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I may be cast down, but I am not destroyed. I'm still standing. I'm still serving God. The enemy will try his best to convince us that all hope is lost because of situations that have happened. But I'm going to tell you, that situation that is in your life right now that has you troubled or distressed or perplexed, listen, you're not destroyed. You're not cast down. There is an end to those things. Everything in this life, there will be an end. We protect what God has given us by tearing down those strongholds, casting down those imaginations. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God, I need to destroy. I'm not going to finish this, I don't think. The works of the flesh are easy to spot when they appear. It's easy to see the works of the flesh that Paul listed there. But it's the little things, those little foxes that I want to talk about. We need to pay attention to. It's strongholds that we build and the imaginations that we need to look at. Well, I just don't agree with the pastor. I don't think Brother Durwall likes me. These thoughts can come through our minds and our imaginations can build up a stronghold that will destroy our relationship with one another. I love Brother McGuire. I love Sister McGuire. I love y'all. I don't want anything to come up between me and you. I don't want to imagine anything. I don't want to think about things that could possibly come up. Amen. I want to tear those things down. I want to cast down those imaginations. I don't want a stronghold in my life that separates me from God. But I do want a wall. I do want a wall of integrity. I do want a wall of peace. I want a wall of faith that hides my treasure, that protects my treasure, rather, that protects my treasure from the devil ever trying to get a hold of it and taking it away from me. I want the Holy Ghost the rest of my life. I want to keep the Holy Ghost. When I die, I want to go out of this world speaking in tongues. I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to ask you a question today. Is there a stronghold in your life that you haven't been able to pull down? You feel that you can't pull it down? We read in Hebrews 11th chapter, many heroes of faith. We read of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab the harlot, always called Rahab the harlot, although she's in the lineage of Christ and she helped to protect the spies of Israel. And many others whose faith were able to subdue kingdoms, the Bible says, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, raise the dead. Some were beaten, and they were stoned rather than to accept the giving up their faith. They refused to allow a wall to separate them from God. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, it picks up from there. Wherefore, because of that, because of what you just read in the 11th chapter, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us or hem us in or wall us in. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I think patience is one of the greatest attributes that we can have today as a child of God. Oh, no. Patience? But they cut me off in traffic. I got a right to blow my horn at them. Okay, I'll quit meddling. Patience can cause us to pause. Patience can cause us to pray. Patience can cause us to seek God's will. Do I really want to go after them? Do I really want to hate them? Do I really want to wring their neck? Patience will say, pray. Patience will say, seek God. Amen. Then we're less likely to build a stronghold if we do that. Patience can cause us to consider the foolishness of our imaginations. It was foolish what I was thinking about, Don. It was just absolute foolishness. I'm convinced that, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, that there is nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from His love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And even today there are those that are being persecuted and even killed for the faith of Christ, by the way. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. When I feel unlovable, I need to remember these things are not able to separate me from the love of God. When I feel like God doesn't care, I need to go to the Word of God and understand God is love. Amen. And what I'm going through, it's going to come to an end. My trial's going to be over. There will be a day that I won't be feeling like I am right now. And the situation will have changed and I will have victory. Praise God. When my imagination tells me that God doesn't care or that my past says you don't have a chance, you can't do anything for God, God couldn't love you, take your mind, your imaginations to Romans chapter 8 and read that over and over. Nothing. Who can separate? Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But in order for me to be right, I need to pull down those strongholds. When Adam sinned in the garden, a wall was built. Man couldn't enter God's presence. And we know that when they built the tabernacle, and I'm coming to a close, they built the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, past the holy place and before the Holy of Holies, there was a wall built, or a curtain, about 6 inches thick, I believe, and no one could pass through there because beyond that was where the presence of God was. The presence of God sat on the Ark of the Covenant. And once a year, the high priest could go back there if he was cleansed and pure and take a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But on the day Jesus Christ hanging on Calvary, the sun was darkened. The earth began to quake, and when he said, it is finished, the Bible tells me that that wall of separation was torn from top to bottom. God just grabbed a hold of that curtain from the top and ripped it open. Now we can come to God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Praise God. Matthew 27 and 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Folks, there is nothing that you're going through today that's going to separate you from God. There is revival in Lakeland. And I don't know why these thoughts came to me to teach today, but there is revival all over this world. People are being saved all over the world. And it's happening right here at Grace Point too. And I believe everyone here needs to be on board with revival. Everyone, and understand, let's get our lives in a place with God that no matter what comes our way, we're going to stand. We're going to stand for the Word of God. We're going to stand for truth. And no matter what, we're going to be all right. We're going to make it to heaven. We're going to be saved. Amen. Because I'm not going to get mad at you. I hope you don't get mad at me. And our imaginations are going to be cast down. And the walls of separation will be torn down. And we're going to build walls of integrity around our lives, around our hearts, around our souls. Walls of prayer and fasting, seeking the things of God. Amen. Let's stand. God bless you. Lord, we're so thankful.